You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Come on, man. Alexa, fix my car.
I don't do cars. Take it to Perfection Auto Works.
All right, give me Siri.
Why didn't you listen to Alexa? Perfection Auto Works has been wrenching cars, not wallets, since 1994. Go look at their shop. There are cars lined up around the block. What do their owners know that you don't? I am taking you right now to PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Yeah, what Siri said. This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works. We do brakes, oil, tires, alignment, general maintenance, major services, and vehicle restorations, all cars, foreign and domestic. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or PerfectionAutoWorks.com. The world's best auto repair shop.
Mike, don't let being best give you a swell head.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
They're off. Enjoy live horse racing this Saturday and Sunday at historic Rialto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rialto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during their 80th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 11 a.m. with post time at 1 at Rialto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road, presented by Rialto Park Foundation.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, now in our 34th year of continuous political talk. Today, we'll talk with Matt Klink in Los Angeles, a respected GOP consultant, one of the most respected GOP consultants in America. Ed Ackerley will be with us, independent candidate for mayor of Tucson. And then Joe D will break down what's happening with the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Let's talk with Matt Klink in Los Angeles. Matt, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Good friend of mine who is not real happy after having lived in Los Angeles for about 50 years, gets up this morning, looks out the window at the beach, and it's snowing, and he says, for God's sake, hell is finally frozen over.
Yeah, it's true. It's we are having some unique weather that my father used to say it snowed in L.A. when he was a little kid, but that was you know, 60 years ago. So it's cold and wet. So it's good. We need the water.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is serious stuff, too, because people are one, trapped because of the conditions, and they obviously are dangerous as well as alarming, for that matter. So not good. Anyway.
Yep, definitely.
Let's talk about, I want to give you a chance to do something nobody else in America could do. I give it to you because only you could do it. I'm going to give you 10 GOP candidates for President of the United States, and you're going to give me a 30-second answer as to how viable they are and which one you might think will be the GOP nominee in 2024. So you ready? Let's go. Donald Trump, 30 seconds. So what do you think about Donald Trump's chances of the nomination in 2024?
Less than 50%. Donald Trump's only shot is a crowded Republican primary so that he can pull in his 30% of the electorate that will never leave him, but diminishing daily.
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. Obviously, a one-on-one electoral battle. He could be the individual that could take away the Trump base. But let's talk about Ron DeSantis, Florida.
His star is rising. He's fundraising in Donald Trump territory in New Jersey and in Florida. Has a strong record as a Republican governor of Florida and is the odds-on front runner at this point.
Nikki Haley, former South Carolina governor, United Nations ambassador, launches her 2024 presidential campaign Wednesday, February 15th in Charleston. The chances of the former ambassador, Nikki Haley?
Strong. I think she's probably running more for the vice presidential slot than for the presidential nod, but she had a great first announcement. Her call for cognitive tests for anyone over 75 years of age is ringing true. And she's got a good message, and she's a good candidate so far.
All right, Ted Cruz of Texas leads the Senate chamber following a series of nomination votes on Tuesday in November. Well, actually, it was February 14th, 2023. He was a de facto runner-up to Trump in 2016. Where is he now?
I don't think that he would be considered a top-tier candidate at this point. I haven't looked to see when he's on the ballot in Texas, but, you know, he... I think that he's better placed in the United States Senate because of seniority, and I don't think he'll be a factor this cycle.
All right. Senator Tom Scott, Republican, South Carolina. What about Scott?
Very, very strong message. He's really selling American optimism. He's got a good record in South Carolina. He was a leader in the from a Republican perspective on police reform that the Democrats torpedoed because they didn't get the liberal policies that they wanted. And I think that... Senator Scott from South Carolina could be a force, but I don't know where his base constituency is.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin.
Virginia governors traditionally do not fare well when running for president, at least in modern times. But he ran strong in Virginia. He really led one of the first after Donald Trump to win a purple state. And I think that if he gets in, he has the resources to be a factor. But again, I don't know where his constituency is.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott, again, anyone from Texas in the Republican primary is powerful. But I don't think that ultimately he will be a top tier candidate. And I think that he has a lock on the governor's office in Texas for as long as he wants it.
Former Vice President Mike Pence.
No pathway to the presidency. I talked about this in Newsweek a couple weeks ago. No pathway to the presidency. He gets the worst of everything. He gets tarred by being Donald Trump's number two for 4 years, and then the Trump base hates him because of what he did or didn't do, for that matter, on January 6th. So a good man, his heart's in the right place, but he has no chance of being president.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Oh, smart guy, super, super experienced on the world stage, West Point graduate, top in his class, Harvard Law School. I think that he could certainly make an impact if foreign policy becomes even more important.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
I don't think that she has a pathway to being president. Governor Noem in South Dakota, I think that she's better put where she is, and she can lead the Republican governor renaissance that's sweeping the nation in terms of conservative reforms in states.
Well, first of all, you're about the only person I know that knows who these 10 people are. I could ask anybody on the street. Most of them would give me 3. Some would give me 5. No one but you would give me all 10. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, John, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know whether it is either. Let's talk a little bit about our president and what chances he has of staying in the race and running for another term. And if he doesn't, who would it be for the Democrats? 2024.
Joe Biden had a pretty good week. The surprise visit to Kiev on President's Day.
That's a big deal.
Was a big deal. And I don't think it was quite as dangerous as it was portrayed. It was not a tear down that wall moment or a Kennedy moment for a Cuban Missile Crisis. But no, it showed courage, it showed guts, it showed the president leading. I think that it was the Biden people believe that he had a really good week. Jill Biden just yesterday hinted on TV that they're basically ready to announce, and I think that they're going to do it. I think that, you know, and Joe Biden wants to run against Donald Trump so bad that the Democrats will do pretty much anything that they can to help Trump get that nomination. But if the Republicans are smart, they'll stay out of that trap. But no, Joe Biden's the odds-on front runner, and no one will enter the race if Joe Biden is in.
Let's talk about the Senate races. What are there, 24 Democrats up for re-election? Is it that many, or do I miscount?
Yeah, no, I think it's 23.
Okay, close enough.
But the Democrats got a big boost when John Tester from Montana just yesterday, or maybe the day before, said that he would seek re-election. That's going to be a tough, you know, John Tester has proven that he can be a Democrat and win in a red state. And unless the Republicans really put up a top tier candidate, Tester looks pretty formidable. So, but no, the Democrats are playing defense. The Republicans really have no vulnerable seats. The Democrats have a lot of vulnerable seats. And, you know, ironically enough, what they're talking about is Republicans retake the Senate, they lose the House, and the presidency is a coin flip.
Well, let's talk about the House for a moment. How well run is it now after everyone was predicting doom, gloom, and disaster, or all of those?
You know, aside from what I'll call the loony caucus, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world and the Matt Gaetz of the world, it seems to have been pretty calm. I mean, the Republicans are quietly getting things done. Kevin McCarthy has held the caucus together reasonably well with a very, very slim majority, but they haven't had to deal with any tough issues yet. And once they, you know, that looming debt ceiling vote is coming, they're going to have to deal with 12 appropriations bills. They have a lot of big votes coming up. And the question is can Kevin McCarthy maintain that Republican Party unity?
Well, I'll ask you that. Can he do that? Do you expect him to do that?
I expect him to do it. But again, there were that, you know, remember we talked a while last time I was on, there are 6 Republican House members that voted present for Kevin McCarthy. And it's not because they disagree with him politically. It's because they don't like him. And that's a big problem. You can solve the politics. You can't solve the personality. So it just becomes very, very challenging for Kevin McCarthy because the Democrats are not going to offer him a lifeline. You know, they want the Republicans to fail in the House, and they're not going to help him out. So I think that Kevin McCarthy is doing his best to keep the lid on a very volatile situation. And once we get some pretty testy votes coming up, we'll see just how firm that lid is on.
Well, let's assume that it's possible that Republicans pick up a few more House members, and they take a majority of the House, or keep the majority of the House by a few, and then they take the Senate because of all of those Democrats that have to defend their seats, and the Democrats lose the presidency. It's a Republican president, House, and Senate. Is that possible in 2024?
Very, very possible, John. And I think what they should do is pack the Supreme Court and remove the filibuster to pass all of those Republican Party priorities that have been bottled up by Democrats. I'm kidding, of course.
But, I was there with you all the way until I went, what? I actually listened to this, what people say to me. I don't know why, but I do.
No, it is very possible that the Republicans could capture all three, and I don't think that you will see any radical reforms in government like the Democrats proposed after 2020. But I do think that if it were to come to pass, you'll see, you know, hopefully more control on spending. Although I will tell you, the Republicans historically have just spent money on other things. So, but that's going to be the priority going forward, is we got to get this budget mess under control because we're just spending too much money. And sadly, we do need to inform entitlements. They're not supportable for the long term. And, you know, when each party who's in power threatens the other party with wanting to kick seniors off of Social Security or Medicare, you can't even talk about reforms. That doesn't help anybody. And certainly young people should be worried that those programs won't be there for them when they need them.
Well, let me ask you about the future for Newsom, your governor of California. What's where is he going? What will he do?
he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. He clearly wants to be president, which is why he advertised in Texas and in Florida. And, you know, he did that not because he thinks he can win those states, but because he is now vaulted into the main go-to for Democrats other than the president. But the challenge is he won't challenge Joe Biden, and he also has a Kamala Harris problem, meaning that Kamala Harris is obviously the vice president. It would be very difficult for another Democrat to run against an African-American female for the party nomination if she was vying for it at the same time. So who knows? Maybe he'll run for Senate. That seat is now open. He said he won't run, but I can pretty much guarantee you that if they did serve hang in California, he would come out on top with name identification and favorability. His favorables here are like 65%.
By the way, that was the next question about how that Senate race is playing out. You've got some pretty qualified people, well-known people, respected people, but Newsom could have it if he wanted it?
If he decided he wanted it, I mean, he won't appoint himself. That doesn't go well for anyone who appoints himself to a position. But if he ran for it, he would win. Look, it's a challenge when you're following a legend, right? I mean, it's like, you know, the coach that followed Lute Olson at U of A, I mean, that's a tough position to be in. So, I mean, Dianne Feinstein's legacy will span many generations in California. She was she's been a force in the state for decades. The replacements for her, they're tiny. Adam Schiff is an angry white guy that focuses only on Donald Trump. You've got, Barbara Lee, who is arguably the most progressive senator member of Congress, who voted against the Iraq War, voted against Afghanistan. Katie Porter, progressive from Orange County, who nobody knows in Northern California. And then maybe you'll get one or two others. So if Gavin Newsom wanted it, he could get it. The wild card here is, what is Governor Schwarzenegger going to do?
Well, there you go.
Does he want to throw his hat back in the political ring? And, you know, Schwarzenegger is not a traditional Republican. His big thing is climate change. So he would probably run as an independent. I mean, it could be so much fun if Governor Schwarzenegger were on the ballot.
Good grief. That's the first I've heard of that. So that's good. Let me take a quick break and come back. We'll talk some Arizona politics with you about Kyrsten Sinema's future, if she has one. That's coming up next. We're talking with Matt Klink, one of the most respected GOP consultants in America. Back in a moment. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Hi, I'm Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, with a warm invitation to join our group. We stand for the democratic values of diversity, inclusion, and empowerment. We offer timely weekly programs with speakers from politics and government. We offer a monthly happy hour, all this for only $20 a year. Just search the Democrats of Greater Tucson and join today.
they're off. Enjoy live horse racing this Saturday and Sunday at historic Rialto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rialto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during their 80th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 11 a.m. with post time at 1 at Rialto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rialto Park Foundation.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles, is with us. We have 2 minutes to talk about the future of Kyrsten Sinema, the Democratic senator in Arizona. What's your take on where she can go and how can she get there?
Kyrsten Sinema, brilliant move by becoming an independent. She was going to get primaried by Congressman Gallego and likely would have lost in the primary. She's guaranteed to be in the runoff now. The only challenge remains is who is the Republican. And if Kyrsten Sinema can pull Republican and Democratic votes, we may have another independent in Congress.
It's got to be a Republican in that race, though, I would have think. They're just not going to stay out of that somewhere along the way.
I agree with you, John. The question is do you get a normal Republican or do you get a kooky Republican like you had in 2022 in the Senate? If we get a viable candidate in that race, I think that it's tailor-made for the Republicans to pick up a seat. But if it's someone who is an election denier who, you know, runs as an extreme populist, I think that it's going to put, you know, a lot of normal Republican candidates or traditional Republican candidates, probably is a less in-your-face term, you know, they may slide over to Kyrsten Sinema because Mr. Gallego has a very progressive voting record.
Well, I would thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Saturday afternoon, Matt. It's always great to talk with you. I appreciate it so very, very much. You're one of the more respected GOP consultants in America and, of course, featured on Channel 5, a television station watched by more people than any television station on Earth. And I appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much. And great to talk with you, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy Saturday, John.
Yeah,
see
Matt.
You later.
Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles. This is the Perfection Auto Works Studios Political Forum with John C. Scott. Now in our 34th year of continuous political talk. The next mayor of Tucson, Ed Ackerley, coming up after these messages.
And they're off. Enjoy live horse racing this Saturday and Sunday at historic Rialto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rialto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during their 80th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 11 a.m. with post time at 1 at Rialto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rialto Park Foundation.
All right, Mr. Taggart, we'll get right on that transmission. Fool. Here, give Mongo the keys and have him park that piece of junk in the back lot.
Mongo like candy.
Hey, boss man, you want me to get on that car?
No, Lily Von Stuck's coming over to sing for us.
Hey, she's here.
I've been with thousands of men again and again.
I leave here for 10 minutes and come back and you're all dancing around like a bunch of Kansas City maggots.
You guys give Rock Ridge Auto Repair a bad name.
Give us another chance.
Doggone it, I've had enough. I'm taking my car to Perfection Auto Works.
Dang, lost another customer.
A man who drink like that, he gonna die.
At Perfection Auto Works, we'll blaze a trail to get you back in the saddle again. Perfection Auto Works will make your car run at full horsepower. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The most qualified candidate I have known in 50 years to run for mayor of Tucson is with me now. He's Ed Ackerley. He is an independent candidate for mayor in this year, 2023. Welcome to the show, Ed. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, John.
All right. You ran 3 years ago and now running again. We talked about what you learned from the last campaign, and let's do that in a very quick summary. What's different about this campaign?
Well, I think we obviously have a track record of the current mayor and council over the last 3.5 years, and so we'll be focusing on what they have done or attempted to do during that time frame. So I think we have a track record to run against this time. Before, it was just we were all no one had been mayor before.
You know, it should be the highest priority of a council or a mayor to protect and serve, which is obviously the motto of our police department. But we are down to a number that no one ever predicted as far as numbers of police to police a city this large. It's a disaster. It is costly. It is dangerous. And I don't see a solution here. You're talking about moving to 1,000 police officers within a short period of time. And that makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. That's why they follow you in this campaign of yours.
Well, I think that it's obvious that we have less police officers and more population. Back when one of my classmates, Roberto Villaseñor, was police chief, he had almost 1,300 officers. We're down to almost half of that now. And, you know, even the chief, current chief Casimar, said on one of the TV stations this past week that he does not have enough officers to keep citizens safe in the city of Tucson. So even he is advocating for more personnel. And, you know, on some of these, I was just talking to a restaurateur this morning, and she indicated that when they came over to talk to her, they only had 3 officers to cover all of the east side all in one shift. And, you know, that's a huge area. We just don't have enough bodies to do the work that needs to be done.
And, you know, if somebody breaks into your house, you fill out a form. Somebody breaks into your car, even steals your car, you fill out a form. You never see a police officer.
No,
that's
only
insane. That's wrong.
They're only able to respond to anything with physical violence or threat.
And you have to be injured in an accident.
Yeah.
If your car smashes into another car, nobody's hurt, then nobody cares. At least the police don't or can't or won't.
Yeah, they might send out a community service officer, but it's pretty much going to be exchange information and head away.
Good luck on that,
yeah,
by the way.
And so the insurance companies fight it out. We just don't have enough police officers, and I'm with Chad Casimar. I think we need to increase that number. And people say, well, where are you going to get the money? Well, we're going to prioritize the budget. We've been defunding as a council the police for 15 years. So every time that budget comes up, it's a vote for or against the police. And we have been defunding. Now, I know they're trying really hard to recruit now under Chief Casimar, trying to get some more people in there, but we've got to do a much better job.
Buses are still free. I'm still paying for bus rides for others. You know, once it got there, it was going to stay, wasn't it?
Well,
this council was going to keep them free.
I think when we see a new year and a new council, a new mayor, I think that discussion has to take place. A free... And the only one that really makes any sense might be a little bit of the streetcar being free because of tourism reasons. But other than that, we should be it's just this: people who need to use the bus now aren't using the bus because the bus is full of people who are fentanyl addicted and homeless people using it as a air conditioning for the hot days and so forth. It's not a solution. And during COVID, it might have been a response that was appropriate, but that time is over. We need to move back to a system where people are actually paying for being on the bus.
What should the relationship be with the Tucson City Council and Mayor and the RTA? Where are we going with that? It seems confusing to everyone now about what its future is.
Well, we have to remember that the RTA front-loaded the City of Tucson projects early on, including the streetcar. And so when the RTA was formed early on, the City of Tucson benefited from some of that construction and so forth. And all the municipalities need to participate fully in that. And trying to move maintenance of streets into the RTA is not necessarily the answer. What I think we need to do is just provide some strong leadership. We all use all of the roads all over southern Arizona. We need to work together and make sure that if you're driving down Oracle Road, which is a state road, a county road, and a city road, traveling through some of these jurisdictions, that it's nice all the way along, and not just a few places being repaired. So the RTA is all about building new infrastructure and helping move traffic from one side of town to the other. And I think we need to be in it and be aggressive and be a good partner with the other municipalities.
Are you comfortable with the amount of money spent on tourism for Tucson?
No, I when I ran last time, I wanted to double the budget for Visit Tucson. You know, Felipe and his crew down there are doing a decent job, but I'm a marketing guy. I'm an advertising guy. I've been in business, company's been in business 55 years. And we got to tell people about the good things in Tucson. We need to fund that. We need to get that tourism base back to Tucson. That was the ticket for 50 years in Tucson, was tourism. We got to get back to that level.
And people come here and they spend their money, but we don't have to educate their children or provide services for them. They just come, spend the money, and go home.
Right.
And that's the best dollar we could ever get.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it helps restaurants. It helps hotels. It helps rental car companies. It helps tourism attractions. It helps grocery stores. It helps in retail malls. It's an amazing way to raise. And we know we're a sales tax driven community. And so everything that we ring up in the cash registers in the city of Tucson has a tax associated with, and that helps pay the bills for police officers. So we need to increase that that activity.
People come to me and say, well, you have this Ed Ackerley on a lot. I said, well, I think he'd make a great mayor. And well, what do we really know about him? Give me a quick 90-second bio for people that just don't know you yet.
Born and raised in Tucson, went to public school here, Palo Verde High School, went to the University of Arizona, got an undergraduate degree, went to NAU, got a doctorate, been at the University of Arizona for 30 years teaching students marketing and advertising. And I've been at Ackerley Advertising for 47 years, helping small businesses grow their businesses by using advertising as that mechanism. I've been in charge of many community groups. I know we've seen heard some commercials today for Rito Park Foundation. I run that.
Been the president
for 2 years. I founded Coaches for Charity. I've helped probably 36 community organizations over the years, leading them and helping them raise money and community profile. So I've been engaged in the community for a long, 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 long time. Now it's time for me to use my leadership skills to step into the mayor's position and help city be what it can be.
To qualify for the ballot, an independent candidate for mayor has to collect a lot of signatures, over 3,000. That's a lot, by the way.
2952, we're probably going to collect about 4,000 in order to be...
Where are you in that process now?
Well, we're just starting.
Have until when?
Well, April 3rd is the deadline, so we got about 6 weeks left to make that happen, and we're out today doing that, and it's a formidable task. 2,952 signatures is a lot of people signing, but we had a lot of help last time from people signing, and we're reaching out to them, and we'll make it. The one benefit that we have is once we get that done, we go straight to the general election, so we don't have a primary running as an independent, and so that's a benefit for us. We can focus on that general election.
By the way, who can sign the petitions?
Anybody that's a voter in the city of Tucson can sign the
petition.
You can
be a Republican, a Democrat, yeah. Makes no difference.
It makes no difference.
You can nominate the independent.
Because I'm an independent.
Right. And money-wise, what people don't realize, I try to remind them of this all the time, is the third-party effort of almost $1 million for the incumbent mayor from outside sources, the unions that...
Right.
Her husband's, employer, which is Raul Grijalva, the congressman, her husband is his chief aide, was able to pick up the phone and call the unions and provide literally almost $1 million of dark money for the mayor's campaign. Are you frightened of that money? If it happened once, could it happen again? And where would you be? And how well financed will you be in this independent race for mayor?
Well, we have a cap. We're running as a clean candidate, so we'll have just under $400,000 if we raise all of our side. Then we'll be matched to the other side. We need $310 donations from voters from the city of Tucson to allow us to do that. We're slowly gathering those, and we'll get there. But I would say, with $400,000 and the magic of marketing that I know about. Well, I just need to tell people my story, and we've been to about 300 locations. Ivani Diaz is with me here today, part of my staff, and he and I have been to hundreds of places over the last 6-8 months, letting people know who we are. And so, we got 39.6% last time around.
40% of the vote.
That's 40%. That's pretty darn good for a first-time
against
candidate.
Against all that money.
Against all that money. I'm not too afraid of it. I think we get the message out. I think people will vote for us.
Well, you could call yourself a pro-business candidate.
Absolutely.
With a social conscience.
Absolutely.
I mean, your whole family, by the way, has been committed to the social needs of this community.
Absolutely.
You have a brother that's the head of the boys' chorus.
Correct.
And you have another brother that's working with you in your ad agency.
Right.
And your father was an ad agency genius when I first started here 50 years ago.
Yeah.
50, let me repeat that, 50 years ago. Yeah. He was an amazing man.
I remember those.
I had a great respect for your father.
Thank you so much.
And the tradition continues with this, with the ad agency, doesn't it?
It does, and we're still going strong. We're 55 years old this year, and my brother and I continue the tradition, and we're very happy to. Anybody needs some advertising, call Ackerley Advertising. I got to keep that going while I'm running for mayor,
Of course you do. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the idea, too, of taking on this incumbent, looks like she will run again. There's no reason to believe that she would not. Is formidable. There's no question. It's the Democratic Council, Democratic Board of Supervisors. Most of the legislative districts here, at least three out of the five, are all Democrat. Does that bother you about the stronghold of the Democratic Party in Tucson, Arizona?
I don't think so at this point. I think that I salute them for the machine that they have and the way they get the vote out and the way they get registrations going. But I think people will look at an independent candidacy in a different light this time around. We've got some problems in Tucson that need to be fixed. Specifically, the police issue is huge. The fentanyl issue is a giant issue for
businesses.
The homeless
issue is just
tragic. And the homeless thing, it's obvious. People can see the homeless issue right before their very eyes. And we've got to address this. They've been doing some work on that. The police have been doing some work on that. We got to build that transition center next to the jail. We got to work with the recommendations that the Tucson Crime Free Coalition has suggested. I'm all in with them. I think they have a great idea of how we can beat this problem of fentanyl use and lawlessness in our city. And we just got to get the enforcement up and get the people in the police force to make that happen.
Again, how can people join your effort, and how do they get a hold of you? How do they talk with you? How do they write you a check?
Well, I'd love to have them go to my website, ackerleyformayor.com, and on that they can sign my petition electronically, or we can bring a petition to them to sign, or they can make a $10 donation. The limit for per person is $500, so if they make a $500 donation, we can count that towards those $310 donations that we need. So ackerleyformayor.com, please check that out, and my platform is on there, and the information they need to get a hold of me. And we'd love to see people out at the events that we have going on. We're out every single week, probably about a dozen events a week now, so love to see some people and meet them and talk to them about what they want to see how to fix Tucson from their perspective.
I'll go back to the mayor's race in the 60s. Jim Corbett,
remember him?
Facing a real estate guy, I think it was, who said, we're a big city now, let's act like one. That was in 67.
Right.
And we're still saying that.
Right.
We are a big city.
We're falling behind Casa Grande and some of those mid-level cities up near Phoenix, and they're getting the economic development, they're getting the growth, they're getting the streets and all that, and we are kind of stagnant. We've been stagnant, and there are the no-growthers, and the people say that we shouldn't change the complex of Tucson. We got to get Tucson safe. We got to get it cleaned up. We got to get it fixed. We got to get the homeless issue under control and get some visitors back here into Tucson.
Well, when I said you're one of the most qualified candidates to ever seek the office of mayor of Tucson, I meant that. I'd known them all one time or another. Back 50 years. Ed Ackerley, good to see you. Thank you so much.
Good
luck at the campaign.
Thank you.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back with Joe D. of the Democrats of the Radio Tucson after these messages.
And they're off. Enjoy live horse racing this Saturday and Sunday at historic Rieto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rieto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during their 80th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 11 a.m. with post time at 1 at Rieto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road, presented by Rieto Park Foundation.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
We'll be right back.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following presentation is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, which is responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Joe, welcome to the show. Update us on where Democrats are in the beginning of a new month here, starting next week. Finally, March.
Absolutely. Yes, we're marching into March with some great programming. This Monday, we have the executive director of the Arizona Clean Elections Commission, Tom Collins. Really looking forward to analyze with him just what the good benefits really are of running a clean election. We also have on March 15th our Democrats Drinking Democratically, our happy hour, and we're going to be launching some really wonderful raffles for people who sign up for $20. To join Democrats Greater Tucson. They'll get a chance to win a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, Arizona Stronghold Winery, a Sonoran Desert print, or a holiday surprise.
By the way, the Democrats Greater Tucson meets online, and you can not only be a spectator, you can be a participant. Explain how that works each Monday.
Yeah, we have a Zoom meeting that everyone is welcome to attend. The program gives about a 20-minute to 25-minute presentation. The rest of the time are questions. People can type in their question in the chat room, or they can raise their hand electronically and ask the guest personally.
You know, this is somewhat of an off year. We have municipal elections, obviously. But the role that Democrats of Greater Tucson played in Pima County and in the state of Arizona was instrumental in the Democratic success of 2022. It was amazing. It was amazing how Pima County made a difference in the race for governor, for attorney general, for secretary of state, and for the U.S. Senate. It made a huge difference that Democrats were organized and active and involved. And I think the Democrats of Greater Tucson played a rather positive role in the success of Democrats last year. How do you follow that up? That's a tough act to follow.
We're fired up and ready to go. A couple weeks ago, we had Ruben Gallego, soon to be our Senate candidate, and he did a wonderful job. He is such an authentic, sincere choice for Senate. We're going to do everything we can to elect him.
You know, he's a war veteran. He's an amazing intellectual, and he's been a great congressman. And people think this is really probably one of the more qualified Democrats to run for the Senate in a long time. Certainly Mark Kelly is one as an astronaut, and obviously one of the premier American heroes. But I'll tell you one thing. Gallego is just as smart. And people like him. He's going to be very formidable, just as you suggested. He will be.
Right. And I really think that it's going to be interesting to see whether it's going to be a two-way race or a three-way race. Either way, we're going to work hard to elect Ruben, our next senator.
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for being with us and being a part of our show. Joe D., thank you so very much. Democrats of Greater Tucson online Monday. You have 15 seconds to tell us how to join the effort very quickly.
Yeah, you want to go to do a search online for Democrats of Greater Tucson, and all you have to do is donate $20, and you are a full-fledged member.
Thank you, Joe D. Appreciate it. Thanks for giving us part of your weekend. Thank you so very much. Have a good weekend yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
The preceding a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the contents of this broadcast segment. This has been the John C. Scott Show from the Perfection Auto Works, Perfection Auto Works Studios, and our location today. Thanks for being with us. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hi, I'm Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, with a warm invitation to join our group. We stand for the democratic values of diversity, inclusion, and empowerment. We offer timely weekly programs with speakers from politics and government. We offer a monthly happy hour. All this for only $20 a year. Just search the Democrats of Greater Tucson and join today.
Welcome to Fat Man Motors. Yes, well, I got a tough job for you. It's a Falcon. Can you fix it? Why, of course. But it will cost you. Well, I insist the job's done correctly.
You are not in a position to insist on anything.
Oh, calm down, Cairo. You know, there are other means of persuasion. I can sense that you guys are far from perfection. And if you think I'm going to leave my Falcon with you, you're crazy. Well, we've lost another customer.
You stupid fool! You bloated idiot!
Understand you took it to perfection.
Yes, and I gave the fat man the bird.
What's that sound?
That's the stuff that dreams are made of.
From a Maltese Falcon to your 2005 Ford T-Bird, you don't have to dream about great auto repair. Just call Perfection Auto Works today for your free 26-point inspection at 323-8650. That's 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.